You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
So the first thing I want to say is, because I've been doing this, I've been slightly forgetful, and I meant to send a slide for the intimations about the survey for the ladies that has been sent round about Flourish and the women's ministry. If you've received that and you haven't yet responded, please do, because we want to hear from you in terms of how we take it forward. So it's a very quick plug. This week is God is Holy. And if I'm really honest, I've been down so many rabbit holes with this. There's probably about 15 preachers, at least, in this subject alone. You'll be glad to know there's only one this morning. And I love the way that it has linked into all the previous weeks that we've had, looking at the attributes of God. And as Rick brought out a few weeks ago, we've talked about the fact that God is love. But he's also mercy, he's merciful, he's just, he is good. As we heard last week, the big words, transcendent and immanent. He's all these things at all the same time, which blows our mind enough. But he's also holy. He is a holy God. So the God who is the creator of this vast universe that we live in a tiny microcosm of, is so, so holy. So the plan for this morning is I'm going to lay out some biblical foundation, and I've deliberately not used PowerPoints this morning because I don't want distractions. We get a bit fixated on screens and everything else. I encourage you to follow in your apps or in your Bibles what I'm bringing. I'll try and not go too quickly, but if you want the references afterwards, please come and see me. I'm happy to give them to you and really just set out the biblical foundation. But then I really want to give time to three points that I believe God has laid on my heart for this morning in terms of bringing out his holiness and our response to his holiness. Because he is a God who is so holy, but yet, as we learned last week, he is imminent. He comes and he draws close to us and he wants us to respond to him. And that's where we're going. I want us to really focus on God and who he is. So the first thing to talk about in the biblical foundation is where God describes himself as holy. And there's a few references in the Bible on that. So the first one I pulled out was Leviticus 19, verse 2, where it talks about the Lord spoke to Moses saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." That is sort of picked up in 1 Peter chapter 1, where it talks about being an obedient children, not being conformed to the passions of further ignorance. "But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy." In Isaiah 57, verse 15, it says, "For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. He says, I dwell in the high and holy place." In Leviticus again, chapter 11, verse 44 and 45, "For I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy. For you shall not defile yourselves with any swarming thing that crawls on the ground, for I am the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." So the next one I wanted to look at was those people who had encountered God. They also described him as being holy. So Exodus 15, it says, "Who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, revered with praises, performing wonders?" And in Psalm 99, I could read the whole psalm, but I won't, just for issue of time. But several times throughout the psalm, it says, "The Lord reigns, let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim, let the earth shake. He is holy." And further on, it says, "He is holy, the King is mighty. He loves justice. He is holy. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. Exalt the Lord. He is holy. The Lord answered them, for our Lord, our God, is holy. And in Revelation chapter 4, it's quite a famous one, the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night, they never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And just note the repetition of holy here, really emphasizing that superlativeness of God. He's holy, holy, holy. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, there is none holy like the Lord. There is none besides you. There is no rock like our God. And in the living verse that we've heard already this morning, Isaiah from Isaiah 6, again it says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And finally, in Isaiah 5, verse 16, it says, but the Lord of hosts is exalted in justice, and the holy God shows himself holy in righteousness. And what's interesting when you read the word is that everywhere that God is becomes holy ground. So we are in a school hall that during the week has lovely teenagers. I won't say a rabble of teenagers, but we will have lovely teenagers in it, creating all sorts of noise. And yet on a Sunday morning, this place is inhabited by God. And it's a holy place. We are in a holy place. And actually, when you talk about, you look at what the commentators say about the holiness of God, they describe it as his glory, which essentially is a fancy name for his manifest presence with his covenant people, i.e. he is here with us. Again, when we look in the Bible, there are many, many places where people have encounters with God and his holiness or his glory is manifest. I've only got one sermon, so there's lots to look at here. Please take this away, study it, look at it yourself. But it's so important that we look at some specific areas. So Genesis 3, Moses and the burning bush, we're going to look at. We're going to look at Isaiah's vision in Isaiah 6, as we've said. And then the children of Israel in an encounter at the foot of Mount Sinai in Exodus 19. In Isaiah 57, he talks about the dwelling of the Lord being a high and holy place. And the Psalms also speak to the many places of worshiping the Lord in the splendor and the beauty of his holiness. So this is a big theme throughout the Bible. As I say, just take some time to read it. So with the biblical foundation laid, I want to get on to three key points that I believe God wants us to focus on today. And the first one is we need to be really wary about complacency when we look at the holiness of God. He has always been holy and always will be holy. It's easy to get wrapped up in or focus maybe on the slightly softer sides of God's character. And I'm not saying that God is soft, but actually when we talk about God as love, God is merciful, God is just, it's quite a nice place to be. We think, oh yeah, God loves me. This is great. God's merciful. He's just. And it's quite a nice place to be. And actually, even when we heard last week about his imminence, how he wants to be with us and how that is, you know, this amazing God, but yet he wants to draw close. It's easy to get distracted and think, oh, we've got a nice cuddly God up here who just wants to think how amazing I am. And actually, we need to be really careful about how we approach him. And just thinking about the holiness of God. So if we look first at Moses' encounter in Exodus chapter 3, and encourage you to look it up. And it says that Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So he thought, I'll go over and have a look at this strange sight and see why this bush does not burn up. And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, he called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. And God said, Do not come in any closer. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. So when he met with God, he was told to take off his sandals, for the ground he was standing on is holy ground. As he approached God, he needed to know, acknowledge, and respond to the fact that he was aware of who God is, and that there was an appropriate response from him and a behavior in meeting with God. When we look at the Isaiah 6 passage, as we did earlier, we see that Isaiah became so aware of his uncleanness and his sin as he looked at this amazing God, this vision. And it's one of those moments in life, and some of the youth would have been, will remember this, back in a few years ago at New Day, we had Francis Chan coming to speak to us on the holiness of God. And he basically got everybody to close their eyes. And if, for those that haven't been or don't know, New Day is a youth camp that happens in Norfolk. And they have this massive big top that has a space for 8,000 to 9,000 people in it. It's a bit whiffy by the end of the week, it has to be said, with teenagers, but it is this amazing place. And as Francis Chan read this, a bit like Rick did earlier, actually, encouraged us to close our eyes and just imagine that we were in the temple and we could see the train of the robe of the Lord filling this place. And it was a real spine-tingling moment, because actually you could see it. You could see the Lord in this place. And as much as he was there in whatever 20 it was, he's here this morning. His robe fills this temple. This is the temple of the Lord. And just encourage you to take a moment and just imagine the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe is filling this temple. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's just that moment where we can imagine, as Isaiah did, where he thought, oh, I am so unclean. How can I sit next to the Lord? How can I be in his presence when there's so much, ugh. But that's where God is amazing. And it's almost a bit of an oxymoron that we've got this amazing, glorious, wonderful God, so holy, and yet he wants to come and dwell with us. When we read in Hebrews 9 about the tabernacle, so the building of the tabernacles, the Old Testament story, and how they had the room and the space, there was the holy place, and then there was the great holy place, so the real inner holy place, the most holy place, which had the golden altar of incense and the gold-covered ark of the covenant. The ark contained the gold jar of manna, Aaron's staff that had budded, and the stone tablets of the covenant. And above the ark were the cherubim of the glory overshadowing the atonement cover. It was that inner room was only ever entered once a year by the high priest. And he had to offer a blood sacrifice to God as part of that ritual that they did. And I've got a little bit of a question for you. How many people here believe that there was a rope tied to the ankle of the high priest when he entered the Holy of Holies, so he could be pulled out in case he became so overcome by the presence of God that he had to be hauled out. How many people think that's true? Quite a few hands. You're hedging your bets just in case. Well, actually, drum roll moment. As part of my research, I was a firm believer in this, and I wrote it initially when I was writing this. I said, oh, yep, rope. There is no rope in the Bible tied to the ankle of the high priest. Now, this is up there with the revelations of there's no donkey in the Christmas story. Thank you, Steve Woodbridge, for traumatizing the Christmas that I found that one out. But actually, there is no rope. There is some sort of writings from around the time where they believe that might well have happened, but it is not in the Bible. So there you go. So the principle of this was so much that any encounter with God led to potentially death or things happening to you because you were so unclean versus this amazing holiness of God. And Isaiah's approach was very much that, wasn't it? He was like, I'm so unclean. My lips are so unclean. But so how do we respond to God when coming into his presence? How do we remember that he is a holy God? That sense of being unable to stand up in his presence. And here's the but, and it's a big but. As part of God's ultimate rescue plan, he sent Jesus into the world, and we've already looked at this through communion this morning. He died to take away our sins. His blood was spilled and is offered as the ultimate sacrifice to God on our behalf. How amazing is that? And the thing is, when he died, the curtain in the temple, which was put there to hide the Ark of the Covenant, the Holy of Holies, that was torn in two, ripped top to bottom, and opened, demonstrating that we no longer need a high priest to go to the Holy of Holies on our behalf to offer that blood sacrifice. It has been done once and for all through the blood of Jesus. How amazing is that? Amen. And through that sacrifice, we have access to this holy God. We can come before him. In Hebrews 4 and 10, it talks about coming before him with boldness, with confidence, thanks to what Jesus has done. Nothing to do with us, but just on what Jesus has done. No more need for confession to a priest or an intermediary. We've got Jesus who pleads on our behalf before the Father. And we can, therefore, with confidence, approach the throne of God. How amazing is that? What amazing God we serve. I wonder how many of you saw the solar eclipse on Monday? Was it Monday last week? It was on TV. I was a bit glued, I have to say. Anybody see it? No? Okay. So there's a massive solar eclipse in America. It went right across the state of America. And what really spoke to me as I was watching it was people's response. So you've got this phenomenon of nature with where the moon hides the sun. Yeah, is that right out? Yes. Yeah, that's the right way now. The moon hides the sun. And so the place goes dark. And it only happens once every however many hundred years in different places. The next one is in Spain in 2026. Looking at Steve, he knows these things. But it was just that thing of people were filled with awe and wonder at this event that was happening. They were also, some of them, really emotional. And I know they were Americans, apologies to any Americans out there, but they were really emotional. This drew something out of them. And I just also reflect on the fact that this phenomenon of nature had the ability to draw people, thousands upon thousands of people, to be in the right place. People spent thousands of dollars and pounds, probably, to get to the places where this was going to happen. Some of them were a bit disappointed because there was cloud. But actually that power to draw people. And I just thought, how amazing that was, that this nature, thing of nature, created that response. But actually, how much more do we need to respond to the Creator who made this happen? He is the one who we should be looking at with awe and wonder. He's the one that brings out that emotion within us when we are in his presence. And we're often, as good Brits, we don't like to cry in public, do we? I certainly don't. But actually, let's not be afraid of the emotions that God rises within us when we are in his presence. It's a beautiful thing. And he, above all else, has got the power to draw us and to draw us in. But just as we think about that, let's just make sure that we check ourselves again, a bit like we did when we were coming to communion. We don't want to be complacent. We don't want to be just, oh yeah, we're going to meet with God. That's great. Actually, we're coming before a holy God. Let's check our hearts against complacency. My second point is that encounters with God always have a purpose. When we look particularly at the Moses and the Isaiah encounters, these both led to commissioning of major ministries. Moses went on to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, into the wilderness, and then on towards the promised land. Of course, he didn't actually get them in. And Isaiah went on to take a key message from God to the people, and of course was one of the major prophets of the Bible. And just the couple of verses after what we read this morning, I'm just going to read from Isaiah 6, where it said, "I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here I am, send me.' And then God spoke to him and gave him a clear message to the people." So looking at that encounter, you can see Isaiah was a lot more willing potentially than Moses was. When we look at Moses, he was very quick to say, "Here I am, Lord, send me." Moses was definitely more reluctant. And when you read the story of Moses at the burning bush, he had a whole conversation with God about what he was asking him to do. Ultimately, he did follow God's command. And I love the fact, as I was reading this, it really just came to me that God got Moses' attention through the burning bush. And then he was standing there in his bare feet. And actually, to be in your bare feet is quite a vulnerable place to be sometimes, especially when there's a fire right in front of you, I would imagine. But he was before this awesome, holy God. And he knew how holy God was, and he hid his face from him. But he then had a conversation. He talked about how he was feeling, that he didn't feel worthy to do the task that God was giving him to do. He was basically, for quite a lot of the time, trying to get out of it. And God was patiently taking him to a place where ultimately he had the confidence, not in himself, but in who God was, to do the task that God had before him. And I just want to really encourage you this morning that God loves us to talk to him. He wants us to talk about our fears, our aspirations, how we're feeling. Coming before him doesn't mean we have to hide parts of ourselves from him. He knows it all anyway. But we can be absolutely real with him while still having that sense of awe and wonder before him. It's the imminence of God that we talked about last week. And every encounter that we have with God has a purpose. It doesn't have to be the commissioning of a major ministry as it was for Isaiah and Moses. It could be something more simple. But knowing he is with us in whatever we are going through, experiencing a sense of his love and grace in a given situation, knowing that he goes before us today, his blessings are new every morning. But these encounters with God are never, ever a waste of time. And we should seek to have them every day because it's so important. But I do believe that this morning God is speaking to a number of people here about some decisions that they've got to make. I believe that God has been having, you've been having maybe conversations with God about some tasks or things that he wants you to do. It might be quite a big thing. It might be a simple thing. But just want to encourage you to speak to God about it. Have a conversation. Come before him as your awesome, holy God. Be respectful of who he is. But he's there to talk to you about what it is that he wants you to do. My third and final point, and this is quite short, is that we are called to live a life that is holy as he is holy. In 1 Peter, it says, "Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy, because I am holy.'" Peter writes about our inheritance that has been set before us through the saving and redeeming power of Christ. Living lives that are holy is our inheritance. It is something that is our right that we can claim. It's not a holier than thou or something that's out there that we have to really work hard for. This is our inheritance. It's our right. Let's claim it. And later in 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, "We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once we were not a people, but now we are a people of God, a holy God. Once we'd not received mercy, but now we have received mercy." Again, when we stand against the plumb line of God's holiness, all our stains are shown. But thanks to the saving power of Jesus, we can stand before our God spotless and clean. But we do have a responsibility to live lives that are worthy of that calling. We have been lifted out of darkness into his glorious light, and therefore we need to tell everybody about the wonders of God. It's following Christ's example and leading, keeping a short account with God. I didn't share this with Rick before, but he brought it anyway, this thing about the repentance, that short account of repenting, asking for forgiveness, being in his presence. Do that daily, hourly if necessary, just to keep always stepping forward, always looking to be holy as he is holy. Thank you, Lord. So we lead into a response. I'm going to ask Nathan and the team to come up. I've asked Nathan to lead us in a particular song, because there's a real sense about the presence of God and the holiness of God, and that space to not be distracted by anything else that's going on around. And I'm going to ask us in a minute to push the chairs back, because they can be barriers. There are times in church life that we create some exclusions. And sometimes it's just something as simple as having a chair in front of you that means you can't move or do what you might want to do. So we're going to take all of that out of there. God, our God, is the most inclusive person there is. And he wants us to meet with him, to come before him. For those that have maybe been a little bit complacent about their attitude approach to God, God wants to meet with you today. Just come to him, ask for forgiveness. Ask him to forgive that sense of carelessness or taking him for granted in any way, and come before him. When we move the chairs back, feel free, take your shoes off if you want to. You don't have to. If you've got smelly feet, maybe go to the back or somewhere away from people. If you want to kneel down, if you want to bow down, if you want to lie down, that's absolutely fine. No distractions. Just come before your God. No complacency. He's a loving, merciful, good Father who wants to meet with you. Thank you, Lord. There's some people that God has been speaking to about a commission. As I said earlier, it's maybe not an absolutely massive thing, but I believe for one or two people, God has been stirring your hearts about something specific that has felt really big. And God's asking you to step out in faith in something. I felt there was maybe some people he was just asking you to go and talk to somebody, talk to a neighbour, talk to a friend, talk to a co-worker, somebody quite close to you, and just build a relationship and talk to them about God. That's what God's asking you to do. But for others, it's maybe something much bigger or feels much bigger. Again, this is an opportunity to come before him, have that conversation. Be the Isaiah, here I am, Lord, send me. Or if you're not sure, you've maybe got fears, you're scared of what's consequences. Maybe it's about financial, maybe he's asking you to give up work to do something for him. Actually, if God is calling you, he will pay. He's got everything already sorted for you to step out. But talk to him, have that conversation with him. Lay before him your fears, your thoughts, your anxieties, your excitement, all of it. He wants to know. He wants to hear and meet with you and patiently take you to that place where you do what he is asking you to do. And thirdly, about living a life that is holy. We need to ask forgiveness from God for anything where we haven't followed what Christ has been asking us to do, and asking for his strength and guidance to push forward, to keep going, to keep that sense of who God wants us to be, that holiness of God that sits and lives within us because he is within us, that we can take that forward to the next day. And finally, just want to give an opportunity for anybody who's here today who doesn't know this God that we're speaking about. As we've said before, we've had communion this morning, which is possibly more familiar to you. Jesus died so that you may be forgiven and that you may have life and life to the full. That you may approach this God, this amazing, wonderful God, with confidence and boldness because of who he is. If you that is you and you want to meet him for the first time, please talk to somebody you've come with or come and talk to me or one of the team around, and we will be delighted to pray with you. But I want to come in worship now. Push the chairs back. Don't start clattering and piling them up and distracting yourselves with that. Just push them to the side so you've got space to come and worship as the team lead us. And if you want to respond to God, you can absolutely do that where you are. But if you do want to have prayer, there are people here who will happily pray for you. We've got some of the ladies from the Flourish team are around. They'll happily pray for any ladies. Got the guys around as well for the men. Just come before our loving, good Heavenly Father, who is so holy, so holy. We stand on holy ground. He's a good Father who loves us and wants us to draw near. So come, draw near to him as we worship him together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.